And we have taken as the title of this morning's message, Friends, Faithful and False. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray for thy blessing now upon us as we come to thy word. Thou would undertake for us as we would examine the scriptures of truth and seek to draw from its pages those lessons for life. And we ask that thy Holy Spirit, the one who has penned and preserved these words down through the ages, might come now and be our teacher, revealing to us the things of Christ and causing us, thy people, to rejoice in the gospel that has set us free. We ask in our Saviour's name. Amen. Friends, faithful and false. There's no doubt about it, the effects of David's sin with Bathsheba are now in full bloom. David has seen the family unit virtually demolished. Innocent lives have been devastated. Precious people have been destroyed. And all because of the choices that he has made. He is perhaps now at the lowest point of his life. His own son Absalom has risen up in rebellion against him. He has driven David from the palace and from the city of Jerusalem. And David now, in the last year of his life, finds himself once again on the run and in hiding. And as David passes out of the city of Jerusalem into hiding in the wilderness, we can probably say with great assurance that at this time of his life, David does not need a lecture on how to be a better father, nor does he need to attend a seminar on how to govern the country better. He doesn't need someone to come alongside and tell him what a failure he has been. He knows all of those things. He knows them well. What David needs at this time is a friend. A friend. We're told in the book of Proverbs that a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And here in 2 Samuel 15, and indeed the chapters after it, we find that the Bible reveals to us some of those people that came into David's life at the very moment that he needed them. That when trouble came into David's life, there are some that really stepped up to the mark and came alongside and gave help and aid in the time that it was needed, and that there were others that he thought that he could depend upon, that when trouble came, were nowhere to be found. And so in these verses this morning, we want to consider and bring this passage to life by considering the people that came into David's life to give him aid, even in his time of need. And as we look at these friends that David enjoyed, I want us to consider the ultimate friend that's given to you and I, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who truly is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Friends, faithful and false. Let me point out some of the friends that David had at this point in his life. He had some very loyal friends. When you come to verse 18, through to 22, we read of the Kerethites and the Pelethites and all the Gittites, 600 men which came after him from Gath, passed on before the king. And then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, "Wherefore or why do you go up with us? Return to thy palace and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile." It seems that Ittai is the commander of a group of 600 men that came to Israel from Gath in order to follow David. Now cast your mind back to earlier in David's life, and you'll remember that Gath is in the land of the Philistines. It was the hometown of the one that we know as Goliath. These are unexpected friends. Now you will remember that David spent some time living in the land of the Philistines when he was on the run from King Saul. Well, it seems that David, as he lived in the land of the Philistines, has made an impression upon some of the people that he met there, in particular Ittai and his 600 men. And now that David is on the run again, Ittai expresses his desire to be of help and aid to David. So Ittai reminds me of that person that seems for so long to have been in the background, out of sight. But the first time we find his name mentioned, we see a strong bond and friendship that is somewhat unexpected. When the chips were down in David's life, the first one to step forward and demonstrate his loyalty to the exiled king and pledge his absolute allegiance to him was not his closest soldiers, but Ittai from Gath. Now David seeks to discourage him. He says, "You've just come from Gath. You've just arrived. Why would you put yourself in such trouble and strife as to come alongside and pledge yourself to me? Go back to the palace. Go back to Absalom." But he wouldn't be turned back. He wouldn't hear of it. And in some respect, he reminds me of Ruth. When Naomi says to her, "I'm going back to Bethlehem. There's no point in you coming with me. Go back to your own people." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." Well, you know, I see a shadow of that in Ittai. Ittai said in verse 21, "As the Lord liveth, and as my Lord the King liveth, surely in what place my Lord the King shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be." He's another Ruth. He's pledged himself to the king. He has committed himself. But you know, I think there's more than just a personal attachment to David here. If you look at the words of Ittai in verse 21, notice how he begins, "As the Lord liveth." I believe that Ittai, just like Ruth before him, has become a true believer in the God of heaven, and he has no intention of going back to his own land and to his old gods. "No, David, I'm not going back. You're the Lord's man here in Israel, and I'm going with you, be it in life or death. I'm here by your side." I tell you, that's a friend indeed. A good friend. I was reading during the week of a competition that was run in a newspaper back in the UK some time ago, asking for a definition of the word friend. And there were thousands of entries. One of them said, "A friend is one who multiplies joys and divides grief." Another said, "A friend is one who understands our silence." A third said, "Oh, a friend is as a watch which beats true for all time and never runs down." But the winning entry, the one that gained the prize, said, "A friend is the first person who comes in when the world goes out." Well, that was Ittai. the world had went out for David, and yet I was the one who came in. A friend indeed. Is it any wonder that the scriptures remind us that two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor? For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. We need friends like Ittai, that when the going gets tough, that they step forward and prove they're loyal. Now we'll probably find over the course of our lives that there will be very few people that will fit into that category for you and I. And we ought to thank God for those true friends that love us in good times and in bad. Friends that are with us when we rejoice, and friends that are there to pick us up when we fall down. If you have a friend like that, then you are truly a wealthy person. Sadly, many people will be your friend when all is well, and when they can benefit from being around you, but a true friend will love you even when you have nothing to give. Now, we can have such a friend. And I'm thinking, of course, of that friend that sticks closer than a brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who has promised to those who know him and love him and trust him, he has promised to us, I will never leave you nor forsake. He has promised to be with us at all time. Indeed, he puts his spirit within us. He's the one who loves us regardless of our current condition. Indeed, he says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. How good it is to have that friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, who cares for me when I am up and runs to my side when I am down. True friends. Loyal friends. Now David has other friends that are mentioned here. It says in verse 24, we read of Zadok also, and all the Levites that were with him, bearing the ark of the covenant of God. They set down the ark of God, and Abiathar went up until all the people had done passing out of the city. David not only has loyal friends, such as Ittai, but he has God-fearing friends. That's important. These men, Zadok and Abiathar, were priests of God. These were men of God who loved David and wanted to follow him. And when he's fleeing from Absalom, what do? But they go in and they lift up the ark of the covenant and they carry it upon their shoulders and they follow after David. Now this is important, because the ark of the covenant signified to the people of Israel the presence of God amongst his people. Here were two men that brought with them the presence of God into their friendship with David. And we are truly blessed when we find ourselves in the company of those who know and love the Lord and who bring his presence with them. They're not mere professors of Christ, they are possessors of him. And the Lord is with them. And we know it when we are in their company, because they exalt the name of the Lord and they draw our attention and our conversation to the things of Christ, and they cause us to rejoice in the mercy and grace of God. Zadok and Abiathar brought with them the presence of God to their friendship with David. Those are the friends that we need. Those are the kind of friends that we aspire to be. God-honoring friends. Now, you may have noticed as we read through the text that
David said to these two men, Zadok and Abiathar, to carry back the ark of God into the city. Did David not want their presence with him? Did David not want the visible sign of God's presence as he fled into the wilderness? He said, if I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord. So David's concerned about finding favor in anyone. He says, he will bring me again. Rather than bringing the ark with me, if God will find favor in me, he'll bring me to the ark. What David said. He said, I want you to carry the ark back to Jerusalem. And know that in doing this, you're doing it at great risk to yourself, because if Absalom hears that you've followed after me, he'll not go easy on you. But I want you to bring the ark of God back to Jerusalem. I want you to put your life on the line for me, your friend. I'm not giving up on God. Truly, I'm trusting God. If it's God's will, he will bring me back again to the ark. I won't need to bring it with me. I'm putting my troubles into the hands of God, said David. And if God wills, he'll bring me through it, and he'll bring me out the other side. You know, David wrote a psalm at this time. We sang it this morning, the Psalm 3. Let me read it to you. Lord, how are they that are increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheek. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. That's where David's heart is. He's trusting in God. He's trusting in God. Yes, Absalom has raised an army against me, but my trust is in God. You know, it's important for us to have friends that bring our attention to God. He says to Zadok in verse 27, art not thou a seer? Are you not a prophet, Zadok? Have you not received messages from God in the past? Zadok, are you not one who hears from God? You don't need to be with me. You need to be with God. Ahimaaz, in verse 27, thy son and Jonathan, the son of Abiathar, we'll use them. Return to the city in peace, and your two sons with you, Ahimaaz, thy son, and Jonathan, the son of Abiathar. And I will tarry in the plain of the wilderness until there come word from you to certify me. David says we'll use these boys as messengers between Zadok the prophet and myself. I will tarry in the plain of the wilderness. I'll wait there until I receive word from you. David is planning and stopping and camping near the Jordan River. And he's not going to go any further until he receives word from Zadok the priest. What is he asking Zadok to do? Pray for me. Speak to God on my behalf. Zadok, pray for me. And that's what Zadok will be doing. And as a seer, one who received messages from God, he's going to give those instructions to David. It's good to have people that will pray for you. Good friends that will bring your needs before the throne of God's grace and seek the will of heaven for those needs. And not only pray for you, But a good friend will point out to you what God says. Bring me the message that God has revealed. A friend will pray for you. A friend will tell you what the Word of God says. He'll tell you the truth, even if it's not something that you want to hear. And there will come a message to David from Zadok the priest a little later in the story. And it's not a message that he wants to hear. The message is this: Absalom is coming. He's seeking to kill you. Run! Now that's not what David wanted to hear, but it was the truth. That a friend will tell you the truth. Oh, to have friends like Zadok and Abiathar that bring with them the presence of God, that will pray for you, that will tell you the truth of the Scriptures. Oh, to have such a friend. You know, we have a friend like that. His name is Jesus. The one who was able to say to Simon Peter, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, so thy faith fail not." Oh, to have that friend in the Lord Jesus Christ who prays for us and brings the truth of God to us. There's another friend that's mentioned in verse 30, verse 31. In verse 31, one told David, saying, Ahithophel. Now Ahithophel was a friend and a counselor of David. He was one who was with him in the palace and gave him instruction and guided him in wisdom. Oh, what is Ahithophel, my friend? Where is he? Ahithophel is among the conspirators. He's with Absalom. So we have seen loyal friends and we've seen God-fearing friends. Here's a false friend. This is one who had been David's friend and counselor and coincidentally the grandfather of Bathsheba. And it's possible that he's been biding his time, waiting for an opportunity to strike back at David for his conduct. And now he has his chance. And when Absalom comes with plans of rebellion and usurping the throne, Ahithophel shows his true colours. He was only with David for what he could get out of him. Not of any love for the king. Because when the first opportunity came, he sided with Absalom. A false friend. David would write of Ahithophel in Psalm 55. He says in verse 12, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked in the house of God in company." It was a friend that betrayed. He says similar in Psalm 41 and verse 9. He's thinking again of Ahithophel, "Mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." You know, one of life's most bitter experiences is to be betrayed by a close friend. And when this is revealed to David, that Ahithophel is amongst the conspirators, that he's with Absalom, what does he do about it? He prays. David prays. David said, "O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." David knows just how wise and how sharp Ahithophel is. He knows how dangerous it is to have one as sagacious as Ahithophel counseling Absalom. And the only way that he can truly handle the situation is to leave it in God's hands. Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. You know, we have a friend that was betrayed. But while David wrote those words concerning Ahithophel, they carry a far weightier meaning. They remind us of our Savior, who was betrayed by one of his own disciples, going to the chief priests and selling the Son of God for a handful of coins. You know, when the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus is our sympathetic high priest, that he knows the feelings of our infirmities because he has suffered as we will suffer. He has known the pain of a false friend. Therefore he is able to bring comfort to those who are wrongly accused, and to those who suffer at the betrayal of those that they trust. So David prays about the matter. Prays to God that he might turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Now when we get to verse 30 through 37, we find another of David's friends. I'm going to label him as an heroic friend. Because as soon as David begins praying against Ahithophel, it would seem that God has already begun to answer that prayer. And he'll answer it through a person. You see, David has more than one counselor. He has many. And a second of them comes to his side, a man by the name of Hushai, the Archite. We're told of him in verse 32 that he came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head. He's David's friend. And he's come from Jerusalem, and he's clearly in mourning. He's brokenhearted over what's happening to his king and to his friend. Here we find a sympathetic friend. There will be those who will be cursing David. There will be those who will be making fun of him as he goes through this difficult time, but not Hushai. He's grieved. No doubt there are some that are thinking that David is getting what he deserves. You could make a scriptural point of saying that David is only reaping what he has sowed. But Hushai is grieved. And he wants to be with his king and his friend. It seems that he's quite an elderly man. David turns to him and says, if you come, you'll be a burden to me. You'll slow us down. But I have something that you can still do. I want you to go back to Jerusalem. I want you to stay behind. And I want you to offer counsel to Absalom. And as you're doing that, what I really want you to do is to counteract the advice of Ahithophel. And in doing that, you will save my life. And Hushai returns to do that, and we'll see in coming days just how that worked out in David's favour. But what I want to say about Hushai is this. He's a friend of whom it could be described as an answer to prayer. When David was praying that God would turn the counsel of Ahithophel to foolishness, no sooner has he finished praying that Hushai steps forth, God has his answer. David has prayed and Hushai is there to carry out that prayer. He was the answer to David's prayer. Now the question is this, is it possible that you could be the answer to someone's prayer? In their time of need, when it seems that all have forsaken them and they're at their wit's end and in need of help, could it be that God would have you as the answer to someone's prayer? To help them, to come alongside them, to comfort them, to pray for them. Could you be that person? Hushai was, And he served as David's eyes and ears when he was upon the throne. He was heroic in that he was willing to lay his life upon the line for his friend. One slip, and Absalom would have taken his head from his shoulders. Hushai was such a friend. Friends are precious. Especially those that will take their stand with you and pray for you and be a help in time of need. Oh, there are friends like Ittai and Zadok and Abiathar and Hushai. And there are others. We could have went on through the chapter 16 and 17 and 18 and found others that rallied to David's cause. But I suppose where I really want to finish this morning is to draw your attention to the one who's the greatest friend. The one who was willing to give his all for us. The one who laid his life down in order that we might take it up. And all that our Savior did when he came to this world was to put us before himself. And he defeated sin and death and hell and poured out his grace and mercy to provide us with a salvation full and free. And he did it for those who were his enemies. It's while we were yet enemies of God that the Lord Jesus Christ came and gave his life for us, that he might call us his friends, that he might save us from our sins. Tell me, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Is he that friend that sticks closer than a prophet? This is undoubtedly the toughest time in David's life. And he faced it with the help of his friends, those whom God had providentially brought into his life to make the road easier and the burden lighter. David is a rich man, but not because of his wealth and position and power, but because he had friends that would come to him in his time of need. One has said that such friends are like fine jewels affixed in the crown of our lives. And when God has given such friends to David, he has blessed him above measure. That friend that sticketh closer than a brother. If you're to take anything away from this message this morning, here's what I would have you to remember. Firstly, we are blessed to have friends. And we need to pray and ask the Lord to help us to recognize those who are our true friends, so that we can be thankful for them, that we can cultivate our relationship with them, and that we might be a friend to them in return. We are blessed to have friends. But remember what the scripture says, that a man that would have friends must prove himself friendly. So if we are to benefit from the friendship of others, then we must in turn be a friend to them. And around us there are those who are lonely, and those who are hurting, and those who are in great need. And we must show and demonstrate to them the love of the Lord Jesus Christ by being a friend to them. So if we are to benefit from having such friends, we in turn must be such friends to others. So remember those two things, and of course our principal point. We must know the greatest friend of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who gave his life to save us from our sins, the one who has promised never to leave us nor to forsake us, the one who has told us while we are in the midst of problems to come and cast our cares upon him, for he careth for us. To bring to him our hurts, knowing that he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. The one who has the resources to meet our needs because He is the heir of all things. He will never let us down. I trust that you know this friend so true. That your trust is in Him. And as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might then seek to reflect that love and friendship that you have found in Him with those that you find round about you. May the Lord bless these thoughts to our hearts this morning.